Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Well, if I read tonight, I want to say this tonight. When you think about Joshua in the Bible, somebody raise your hand and tell me the first thought that comes to your mind. Can y'all hear me? Help me, my friend. That's good. That's very, very good. Jericho. I hope I can get there tonight. I'm not sure I'm going to get that far tonight. Courageous. I like that. Courageous. Anybody else tonight? Got any thoughts on Joshua? Let's examine his life tonight. And I looked at the whole deal. I love reading my Bible. I love Bible school. I love reading my Bible. The Lord has helped me this year already to go through the Bible, and I'm about done with Exodus, starting through the second time. And I love it. That's not verse by verse me reading always. A lot of times I'll listen to Alexander Scorby, and if you listen to the Word of God, it'll change your life. Just listening to the Bible, it'll change your life. I promise you that. And I've enjoyed reading this, and then when these subjects was assigned to me, I've enjoyed going back and studying about Joshua here. I hope we'll be a blessing tonight here tonight. He is in the heroes of faith. And I'll say more about that tonight. But look in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Of course, when you come to chapter 34 here, and you know, this really, I think about this, and it breaks my heart when I think about it. It doesn't seem fair that Moses didn't get to lead Israel into the promised land. That doesn't seem fair. He takes him up in the mountain here in chapter 34 here. And, of course, God buries him there. And no man knows where he's buried even to this day. And buries him there in the mountain. And I thought much about that. After all that Moses went through, and yet he didn't get to lead him into the promised land. Your temper will get you in trouble. Hello. And that is so true. And can I say this? It's hard sometimes to stay cool. I was in a hurry this afternoon. I'm reading a minute. I was in a hurry this afternoon. My car was at the Toyota place, and they were servicing it today. And my wife and I went by and picked it up just a few minutes ago. It was running pretty tight on time. And we wanted to go somewhere and eat supper, and we didn't have time. So we thought we'd drop into a restaurant. And I'm not going to tell you where it's at, but it's real close to Toyota place. And we thought we'd just drop in there and grab a bite and come on to church. Well, that's what we done. I ordered, and I kind of like what I ordered, stewed beef and potatoes and coleslaw, and I was kind of looking forward to that. I hadn't really eaten much today. And one other couple in there when we got there. And I thought, this is going to be wonderful. We'll be out here in just a minute. We won't have to be here long. And so I'm talking about keeping you cool. And so I ordered, and we went and sat down in our booth. I had my number, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. Did I tell y'all I waited? I waited. So a few minutes, I got up and went up front. When I got up there, there were several other couples up there ordering. And I stood there and I looked right straight at the lady, and she said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes. Here's my number. I've been waiting." She looked at it, and she looked around. She looked back at the grill. She looked back again. She said, "Sir, we've lost your order." And I was already late. And I said, "Would you give me my money back? I've got to go." I really was honest. I really was nice. I didn't want to be, but I was. And I said, "Would you give me my money back? You reimburse me, and I'll just go. I need to go." She said, "Yeah, we'll do that." So she goes in the back, and she stays. And she stays. And she stays. She come back. She said, "The lady will be up in a little bit, or the woman will be up in a little bit to get the money." I said, "I got to go." And I'm in Deuteronomy 34. Your temper will get you in trouble. And God really helped me, and I appreciate Him helping me. I didn't say what I wanted to say. And more than that, I didn't do what I wanted to do. But I've been around Mount Airy a whole lot. Sure don't want to lose my testimony. Somebody say amen. But anyhow, she gave my money back. I went to Hardee's. So in 34 here, Moses has stepped off the scene. And Joshua's getting ready to step on the scene. Look at verse 9, Deuteronomy 34. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Notice now, he's getting ready to take over here. And the Bible said that Moses had laid his hand on Joshua. And of course, the Spirit of God has come on him and in him. And God is going to get ready to use him. Look at chapter 1 of Joshua. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," and I like that, and I'll come back to that in just a minute, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I gave them, to the children of Israel, and every place of the sole of your foot shall trot upon, I have given to you as I give unto Moses from the wilderness." And he goes on down and talks about where I was at. Look at verse number 5. "And thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Look at verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, for there and observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn thou not to the right nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then that thou shalt have good success." He says in verse number 9, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, and whithersoever thou goest." I want to talk to you a little bit tonight, and I'll have some other verses here in a minute. And you're probably not going to keep up with everything I say. So if you have a pen and a piece of paper, maybe we'll write down some of the scripture that I'm going to give you tonight. When you come to Joshua tonight, I want to say first of all tonight, what an awesome man of God. What an awesome man of God when you study about him. His name is not Abraham. His name is not Moses. His name is not Isaiah. His name is not Jeremiah. And his name is not Paul. His name is Joshua tonight. And when you think about Moses, great patriarch of the faith, when you think about Moses, when you think about Abraham, Isaac, and all these other guys, Jeremiah and the rest of them, you think about what wonderful and great men of God they were. They wrote a good portion of the Bible. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, which we call the Pentateuch tonight. But when you come to the book of Joshua tonight, you may think, well, he's down here and they're up there. But I really don't look at it that way. Joshua was an awesome man of God. When I think about Joshua, I think about Samuel. You know, Samuel, when you think about Samuel tonight, when you read the book of Samuel, you know the main thought seemed like it's on David or Saul. But you know, Samuel was an awesome man of God also when you study about him. And when you study about, of course, Joshua here, you'll find he's in the heroes of faith. And we'll say more about that in just a minute. When you look at Joshua tonight, his name tonight, and his name here in the Bible, is found 297 times. But listen to this. Not all those times are having reference here to Joshua. There's more than one Joshua in the Bible. And if you're studying that, you'll find there's a number of different Joshuas that's mentioned in the Word of God. So all of them is not talking about Joshua himself. The first time Joshua is mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus chapter number 17, verse number 9. Here's what it says. "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out." Notice what he says to Joshua. "Choose us out, man, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." You remember that story when Moses and Joshua and Moses is there, and Aaron and Hur, you remember what happened? They was in battle with the Amaleks there. And as long as Moses' hands was held up, Moses and Israel prevailed. But when Moses' hands got heavy and was let down, of course, Amalek prevailed. But here, this verse here is before that. And God says to Moses here, or Moses says here to Joshua, choose out men and go fight. And what I want to say about that is simply this tonight. He obeyed. He did exactly what he was said to do. And in this is the first time, actually, he's mentioned here, the son of Nun. And he said, choose you out men. And I like this first statement here about Joshua. The first thing he said about Joshua, and I got to slow down. I'm teaching. Am I teaching? Can I preach? Will it be all if I just preach? Who said that? Okay, here we go. When you said about Joshua, listen to this. He's always obedient. But the thing that blesses my heart about Joshua is this here. Starting the very first verse about him tonight, he's always standing with the man of God. Y'all write that down. He's always standing with the man of God. And Moses stood and said unto Joshua, choose you out, man. See, Amalek is fighting against Israel. And again, every time Moses' hands fell down, Amalek prevailed. And of course, Amalek is a picture of the flesh. I preached a lot of times on him many years ago. But when Moses' hands was held up, of course, Israel prevailed. And again, the thing that blessed me about Joshua when I studied this is the fact that he's standing with the man of God. He's not standing against the man of God. He's standing with the man of God. And may I say this tonight? You'll always be blessed to stand with the man of God. Are you hearing me? You'll say, I don't understand him. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. I don't always understand me. But I understand this. When God says do something, do it. And whether I understand or not, do it. And I'll say to you tonight, I stand with the man of God all my life since I've been saved. I've always tried to stand by my pastor. I've been saved 50-some years, 54 years. And been preaching about 50 years now. And those years, and even when I wasn't a pastor, I always tried to stand with the man of God. There's things about the man of God I didn't always understand. I didn't understand. I know when I was a layman before I started pastoring, I watched my pastor. And he would do things I didn't understand. I wouldn't understand it. But you know what? I just watched him. I just kept my mouth shut and watched him. And I found out he was right in what he was saying. And by the way, I learned more from my pastor. When I was a young preacher, I learned more from my pastor than I did in 4 or 5 years of Bible college. Listen, you always do well to stand with the man of God. So here in this text here tonight, Joshua, the first time he's mentioned here, he's standing with Moses. He's standing with the man of God. The last time Joshua's mentioned is in Joshua 24. Let me read it to you. Joshua 24, verse number 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Now, here's the thought I got out of that. He's still a servant. He has not changed. He's still a servant. At 110 years old, he's still serving God, and he's still a servant. I preached last night on, I want to finish right. I want to finish right. I preached on that last night while I was preaching. And that's my desire tonight. I want to go out here doing what I'm doing right now. I don't want to change. A lot of people change. A lot of church members change. They drop their standards. They drop their convictions. Some of them drop their Bible. Some of them leave a fundamental church and go join a liberal church. God has never led nobody to do that. Are you listening to me? And I want to say this to you now. When Joshua closes out here in Joshua 24, he's still a servant of God. And by the way, can I just say this? I know I ain't going to get done. What time am I supposed to be done? 15 till? I better take this off. But can I just say this tonight? He's still a servant of God. And let me just say this to you tonight. You'll never get no higher than a servant. You'll say, well, I got 9 degrees behind my name. I don't care if you got 14. You'll never get higher than a servant. A servant is somebody that sees a job that needs to be done and says nothing to nobody about it and goes ahead and does it. And so here in Joshua's life here, he's closing out at 110 years old, 24 verse 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he's still a servant. All of his life he served as a servant. And by the way, can I say it again tonight? You'll never get higher than a servant. That's the ending of his life. And there's a lot of good things can be said about him. A lot of good memories about Joshua. I like how he's closing out in chapter 24. Won't you go ahead and turn that? It won't take just a minute. Look at chapter 24. And again, I probably ain't going to get done, but notice this. Chapter 24, watch this verse. In chapter 24, notice this is the last charge that he's given to Israel. Right after this, Joshua goes to heaven. Look at his last charge he's given here. Joshua 24, look at the verse. Look at verse 15. And if they seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Choose at this day whom you serve. Were the gods which your father served, which on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorite, whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I like that. We'll serve the Lord. He said, choose you. And notice what he's saying here. The last hours and the last days of his life, he hadn't wobbled on the shade. He's still staying faithful. He's still standing firm. And he's still saying, you do what you're going to do and do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And class, can I say this to you tonight? We ought to have that desire tonight. Let me tell you something now. Don't get your eyes on every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Don't get your eyes on the other people tonight. And I've seen it happen a million times. So many times people get their eyes on somebody else. They take their eyes off God. And I'll tell you this tonight. Don't do that. Joshua said, let me tell you something. You choose who you're going to serve. You do what you want to do. But it's for me and my house. I feel like preaching. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'll say tonight, I hope God will give you and I a truckload of grit and grace just like that tonight. I'm going to serve. If everybody else quits, if everybody else turns back, it doesn't make no difference. I've already decided it's for me and my house we're going to serve the Lord. And by the way, I'll say this. My dad went home to be with the Lord 17 years yesterday. And I miss him as much today, Miss Lisa. Your daddy was a daddy like my daddy. And I want to say 17 years down the road, you'll miss him just like you do right now. I miss talking to him on Sunday morning. I got to get off of that. I miss him. I sure do. And I'll tell you, the way my daddy started was the way my daddy finished. And if God will help me tonight, I want to be like Joshua tonight. As for me and my house, you study chapter 24. I just read verse 29. He died. This is it. He's given that last charge to Israel. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And can I say this tonight? I want to be remembered that way. I want to go out here being remembered that way. I don't go out here being remembered as a has-been, as somebody that used to serve God but to quit. No, no, no. No, I don't want to do that. And I want to be remembered that way. By the way, when you think about Joshua, he's mentioned also in the New Testament. Listen to this verse. Joshua, or Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they was compassed about 7 days. Wonder who led them to do that. I know his name's not there. And also it says in verse 31 of that chapter, by faith, the harlot Rahab perish not. Wonder who told her about the Lord. Wonder where all that come from. Are you listening? When you think of Joshua, that's what I think of tonight. And I want to be remembered that way also. But if you notice in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, watch this verse. In chapter 34 again, look at verse 9 again. Joshua, the son of Nun. I'm glad I'm not the son of Nun. How would you like to be remembered as the son of Nun? Nun. The Nun sisters. But they're not the Nun sisters. They are sisters, but their name don't give them justice. They're great singers. Their daddy, Kevin, he's a great guy. Their mother, their children's mother. But I'm glad my last name's not Nun. And notice the Bible said there in that verse, Joshua, the son of Nun. None means finish or continue. How about that? And Joshua certainly did do that. And when you look at the name of Joshua tonight, it simply means, and by the way, do you know the name Joshua? And Jesus, Jehovah, has to do with Savior, has to do with salvation. They get the meaning, same name. Got the very same name. And it means Savior. And so he was a Savior also to Israel. If you look in chapter 1 and verse number 2 and 3 there, he talks about how that he's going to lead Israel into the promised land, and he does lead Israel into the promised land. And let me just say this real quick again about Joshua tonight. He was faithful. He was faithful as a minister to Moses. Look at verse 1 again. Now after Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. You know, I don't think Joshua was trying to climb the ladder. I don't think Joshua was trying to get some kind of big name. It doesn't indicate that at all. He was just a servant. He was a minister to Moses and helped Moses. And by the way, down through the years when I pastored, last several years I pastored, really most of my pastorate, I've always had a full-time second man. But I never looked at the as assistant pastor as a second man. He's not a second man. If you're doing the will of God, you're not first and second. If you're doing the will of God, are you listening to me? I don't look at it that way. A lot of people talk about the second Adam. The Bible don't say that. The Bible don't say that he was the second Adam. Look it up. First Adam and the last Adam. And so I want to say to you, Moses here is the minister to Joshua here is a minister here to Moses. And what that simply speaks to me about is simply this. He was faithful, kept doing what he's supposed to do, and just kept on doing it for the glory of God. He was faithful. And by the way, can I say this tonight? One of the reasons he was so successful, he learned to follow. He learned to follow. Back in that text, first there in Deuteronomy, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him. That's not the verse I'm looking for. Where's the verse I'm looking for? Verse I'm looking for, verse number 2 of chapter 1 of Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore go over this Jordan, thou and all this. What he does is simply this. He learns to follow. He does exactly what the men of God said do. There it is. It's chapter 17 of Exodus. Verse number 9, where I read a while ago. He did exactly what he learned to follow. And I'll just say this to you tonight, class. You'll never be successful and you'll never be a leader until, first of all, you learn to follow. Are you listening? Until you learn to follow. I think I'd be a whole lot better associate pastor now than I would be pastor. I think I could help the preacher more. I really do, Brother Rams, and you preachers in here. I believe I'd be a better assistant pastor now than I would pastor. And so what I'm saying is simply this, he learned to follow. And I'll say to you tonight, we need to learn to follow also. And let me say this before I get to my main thought tonight. When you study about Joshua tonight, he was a tremendous military leader. He was a tremendous military leader. We're not going to get there tonight probably, but in chapter 6, that's one of the greatest stories to me in all the Word of God. God lays out step by step what Joshua was supposed to do. When they go into the city of Jericho, what they were supposed to do. But Joshua listens to the Lord. And again in chapter 6, step by step by step by step. And when you look at that, I read it I don't know how many times this week or in the last few days. When you look at it, it don't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. To tear down the walls of Jericho, which was high and which was thick, and to tear them down those walls down, I'd probably want to get some dynamite. I'd probably want to get some of these deals they shoot, you know, in the military. But that's not the way God said do it. And I'm saying this tonight. He's a great military leader. His strategy, God give him that strategy. And, of course, you know the story in chapter number 6. All they were supposed to do is do what Joshua said do. And can you see him as he lines those priests up? And as they march around those walls one time a day and blows the trumpet. Can you imagine this tonight? Those guys that was watching over Jericho, can you imagine what they were saying? Who in the world is that bunch of idiots out there? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what they were saying? And when they lined up and started marching around there, and the priest blowing the trumpets, ram's horns what it was, don't you know that crowd thought, they have absolutely lost their mind. And I'll just say this real quick. Some of those Israelites, that might have not made sense to them. But it's what the men of God said do. And they did it. And they did it 6 days in a row. I can see them about the third day. And the guy that's in charge over the security team says, here they come again. Here they come again. And for 6 days they marched around. Didn't say one word. Didn't open their mouth. Didn't say a word. Just blowed the ram's horn. And walked around that wall. Listen to me. From a human standpoint, that doesn't make a lick of sense. And I'll tell you something tonight. God's commands in the Bible from a human standpoint doesn't make any sense. And I'm telling you, it doesn't make a lick of sense sometimes. But I'll tell you this tonight. You always will do well to be obedient, do what he says do. How many times? It was that way yesterday almost. How many times have I been sitting on the front row of a church and I'm getting ready to preach? And I say this to the Holy Ghost. If I do what I feel you put in my heart, it ain't going to work. It's not going to fit. It's just not. You ever had that? You ever done that? It's not going to work. But you know what you better do? You better do what he says do. And are you listening? And boy, I'll tell you, you ever have them times when you get in church? I had this yesterday. I'd studied all week on a message. All week on a message. I sat there while the Sunday school teacher was teaching. And I looked at him, but I had my mind on what I was preaching. I kept going over in my mind that message. And guy got up teaching Sunday school, done a good job. And at the end of his lesson, his last five or six words, Holy Ghost. That's what I want you to preach on. Lord, I ain't studied that. Lord, I ain't even looked at that. Lord, I don't even know where that outline's at. Holy Ghost said, you might as well be finding it. So I jumped up and ran outside in my truck, and I was driving my truck yesterday, and it wasn't in there. And brother, I had a heart attack. I thought this is not good. And I come running back to church. And I could have preached that other one. I'd studied it. But I come running back to church and I thought, dear Lord, Lord, are you going to make me preach this off the top of my head? And man, I got to look in my Bible I had with me. Hallelujah. Guess what was in there? Are you listening? So I want to say this tonight. Sometimes the commands of God don't make a lick of sense. But you always do what he says do, and you'll always come out on top. Watch this. Can you see them marching around that wall? One time a day for 6 days. I'll promise you, they probably thought they'd lost their mind. And some of those Israelites probably thought the same thing. Well, this is stupid. This is crazy. Hey, let me tell you something. When I can't track him, I can trust him. Because he always does right. And on the seventh, boy, I like the seventh day, don't you? They marched around it. And when they got back around marching the first time, I'm sure the guard said, they're done. Oh, no, they're not done. Here they go again. And seven times they go around the walls of Jericho. And on the seventh time, they blow that ram's horn. And all of them, now this would really mess Bebdis up. They all shouted with a great shout, the Bible said. And I like what the Word of God said. I read it again this evening. The Bible said that those walls fell down. Anybody know the next word? Starts with an F. Flat. Aren't you glad for your King James Bible? So here's what I started to say to you. Joshua was such a great man because he was obedient. He'd always done, he obeyed God, and he always done, he followed the command. He was a great military leader. And again, his strategy, it wasn't Joshua's strategy, it was God's strategy. And I'll just say this to you tonight, one more time. It always pays to mind him. My last verse, you've heard this a million times. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him. What's the promise? He shall direct our path. And I'll tell you something. That's been my last verse. You know why that's been my last verse? Because I don't know how to do anything. I'm dumb as a stick. Don't tell nobody that. I don't know how to do anything. I really don't. But I know who does. And I know where the help's at. So I'm going to say Joshua here was a tremendous military man and a military leader, how they led Israel. And let me say this before I get down to what I want to say tonight. His influence was greatly, made a great impact in that day. And by the way, his influence is still making a great impact even to this day. How often do I preach out Joshua? I preach on it all the time in jail. I tell those guys, I say, hey, look, man, you got a choice. You're not a robot. You got a choice. You can choose. You got a choice. And by the way, class, can I say this to you tonight? You've got a choice tonight. You can choose to do right or you can choose to do wrong. You can choose to be obedient or you can choose to be disobedient. So when you look at Joshua tonight, he's a great military leader. He made a tremendous impact in his day, even into our day. And I'll give you this before I give you my main thought tonight. What's the key? What was the key to Joshua's service? And what was the key to Joshua's success? Well, it's pretty simple. It was his relationship to God. And not only his relationship to God, and I look at it over and over again when I read about his life, how obedient he was. He unquestionably minds God. He does exactly what God says do. Now, I know y'all don't know who I'm getting ready to talk about. His name is Dr. Percy Ray. I had the opportunity to hear him preach. One of the greatest Southern Baptist preachers that's ever graced America is Dr. What's his name? Who? J. Howard Smith. He is a great one too, Percy Ray. And I've heard preachers say this about Dr. Percy Ray. The thing that made him great, Dr. Percy Ray, Myrtle, Mississippi. Boy, I got some good memories of that place back in the 70s. Oh, Dr. Ray. I've heard preachers say the things that made him so great, he had instant obedience. And that's the way Joshua was. He obeyed instantly. Whatever God said, he done it. Whatever the men of God said, he done it. I heard one of the preachers tell a story about Brother Percy Ray many, many years ago. They never did come out of the convention. But there, the convention back in the 70s, not like it is today. I promise you, Dr. Percy Ray wouldn't have nothing to do with what's going on today. But back in those days, you couldn't hardly tell the independents from them because they believed like we did. And they preached like we did. J. Errol Smith, what a tremendous man of God. And you'll not find a greater preacher than, what's his name? Memphis, Tennessee. Help me. Thank you, Brains, back there. Adrian Rogers. Every morning at 9:30, I try to listen to him on radio. Tremendous man of God. So back in those days, you couldn't hardly tell the difference in independent Southern Baptists. And I heard a preacher tell this story about Dr. Ray. Instant obedience, like Joshua. Said they was having a huge Southern Baptist meeting. All the big shots was there. Thousands of people was there. And God spoke to Percy Ray's heart and said, I want you to get up and go out in the parking lot and shout. I'll tell you when to get done. They said the old man got up, went outside, and stood in the parking lot and shouted for I don't know how long. You say, I wouldn't have done that. Well, you're not Percy Ray. And he did that. Instant obedience. When I think of Joshua, the key to Joshua's success is his relationship to God, not only his relationship to God, but instant obedience, how obedient he was. Now, look in chapter 1 real quick. Look in chapter 1. I want you to see what God is saying to Joshua. Notice in verse 1, 2, and 3. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, my servant, of course, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I'm going to show you where to go. Look at the next verse. Every place you go, the sole of your foot, I shall trot upon it. I have given unto you, as I give unto Moses. Thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong, courageous, that thou mayest observe and to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commendeth thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Notice what he says in this next verse. And this law, the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And here's my thought, that thou mayest obey and do according to all that is written therein. For thou then shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Why did he have good success? What was it that caused this man of God to have such tremendous good success? I give two or three things I can't believe this time. Notice, first of all, he had good success, first of all, because of the promise of God. God promised him in these first verses here, you do what I tell you, and everything's going to be fine. Everywhere you go, the sole of your foot would be yours in Israel. And he believed the promises of God. He trusted God, and he believed the promises of God. And I'll say this to you tonight. If we're going to be successful on the side of God, we need to claim the promises of God. Whatever he says to us, can I tell you this today? His promises is real. His promises is true. He's never broke a promise. He's never made a mistake. He's never failed. And he said, Joshua, if you'll just do what I'm telling you, if you'll obey, you'll have good success. And it sounds like in verse 3, look at it. Every place the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I have given unto Moses. That sounds almost like he's talking to Abraham. We'll get into that Wednesday night. That sounds almost like he told Abraham, he said, your seed shall be like the sands of the sea, and it's yours. And I'll say, he obeyed God. I'll say tonight, he had success, first of all, because of the promises. But then I'll say this tonight, he had success because of the presence. Look at verse number 5. Bible said verse number 5, and then shall thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I'll not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Notice the presence here. He's saying, Joshua, you obey me and do what I tell you to do. You've got my presence, and wherever you go, wherever I send you, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be right there with you. And may I say this tonight? He had good success because of the promise. And God promised him that. God promised him that he would prevail. God promised him that he would take care of him. God promised him that he'd be with him. And I like the latter part of the verse. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I'll not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And I'll just say this to you tonight. God can't fail. And if you'll do what you're supposed to do, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do, we can claim the promises of God. And I'll just say this to you tonight. You can have good success tonight. Hey, you remember this verse in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Boy, it's getting close to one of my favorite chapters. Romans chapter 8. You remember what he said? Verse 31. If God be for you, who can be against you? And I'll tell you tonight, you and God are a majority and a success anywhere in any situation. And I just want to say this to you tonight. He had the promise of God. He had the presence of God. He said, Joshua, verse 9, wherever you go, I'm going to be right there with you. He said, I'll not fail thee. I'll not forsake thee. And I'm going to ask you a quick question tonight. If I started and go down this side over here and come up this side and go down this side and come up this side, and I ask you this question tonight. Has God ever failed you? Has God ever let you down? If one of you raised your hand and said he did, I'd say we're going to take you to Morganton. You've lost it. God's never failed you. God's never let you down. And I'll say this tonight. There's been times in my life and your life also. Maybe he didn't show up when you thought he ought to show up. Maybe he didn't do what you thought he ought to done. But had he done what you thought he ought to done, you'd be in trouble. Can I tell y'all something? Don't tell nobody this. I have prayed some pretty dumb stuff. And had God answered some of the prayers I prayed down through the years. Are you hearing me? So I don't say this to you now. He said, Joshua, here it is. You've got my presence. I'm going to be with you. I promise. He gave it his promise, but he gave it his presence. I'll not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's a pretty good promise tonight. I believe I read that somewhere else. Is it over in Hebrews? Maybe chapter 13? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I looked that up. You know what it means? I will never, no never, no never, no never, no never leave thee. You'll say, well, I believe I'm losing it. Well, go ahead and lose it. If you believe that doctrine, just go right ahead if you want to. I don't believe that. I don't believe I get saved and get lost and get saved and get lost. You don't find that in the King James Bible. Somebody say amen. It's not in there. And I'll say to you now, he had a good success because he didn't only have a promise, he had the presence of God. He said, I'll not fail thee. I'll not forsake thee. That's a guarantee. That's a pretty good guarantee. Are you listening to me now? Only be thou strong in verse 7. Be strong and observe and do. Listen, you can't beat that tonight. But notice something else. He had good success not only because of promise, he had good success because of his presence, but he had good success because of the precept. And when I say precepts, I mean the Bible. I mean the Word of God. Notice what he says in this verse. The Bible said, this book of the law, verse number 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's a good thing. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Can I tell you something tonight? You won't have good success without the Word of God, the precepts, the Word of God. And I want to say this tonight. I like what he says right here. He said, this book of the law, the Word of God, it's not going to depart out of thy mouth. And I'll tell you something tonight real quick. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Read the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Again, I know I said it a while ago. I don't think I've ever in my life enjoyed reading my Bible more than I do right now. I love the book. And I want to say this tonight. You want to have good success? Hide the precepts of God in your heart tonight. He says in the verse there, the book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I like to, as soon as a teacher, listen to me, preacher. I like to meditate. If God will give me a green light of what I'm going to preach on the next week or wherever, I like to get them thoughts, Brother Stan, in my mind. And I know you do because I hear you teach. You do a good job. You get them thoughts in your mind and meditate on the Word of God. And let me tell you something. You'll do well to do that. You're a whole lot better to cut that idiot box off, cut the radio off going down the road, unless you listen to the Bible and unless you listen to the right stations. You want me to help with some of that? Are you listening? I better hush, but listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Meditate therein. Meditate on the Word of God. I know when I pastored, I did series. I love doing series. I did that. Sunday morning, I was always evangelistic. Sunday night, if there's any stumps to blow out, I blowed them out on Sunday night. But on Wednesday night, I went verse by verse teaching the Word of God. And I'd get those thoughts in my mind, and I'd meditate on them and work them over and over and over again. And I'll say to you now, that's what y'all do. Y'all ought to study the Bible. I believe I read that somewhere. Did we read that somewhere? Study to show thyself approved. A workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe I read that somewhere. I believe Paul told a young preacher that, didn't he? And I'll say this to you tonight. Meditate on that. Get that Word of God in your mind and meditate on it. I want to ask you a question now. Do you read your Bible? No, don't raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass nobody. But do you spend any time at all in the Word of God during the day? Any at all? I've been trying the last few months to be healthy. And what I mean by that is I'm not necessarily trying to lose weight. I mean, if I lose any more, I'm going to blow away. What are y'all laughing at me for? I'm not necessarily trying to lose weight. I have lost. I hope to lose some more. But every morning I try to get up real early before the sun comes up and walk 2 miles. The place where I walk is like walking 3 miles because it's uphill most of the way. And you know what I do? I get my cell phone, turn on Alexander Scorby, put it down my pants pocket, or shirt pocket, or whatever, and just listen to the Word of God for 40 minutes. And you know what? Those thoughts that I get during that morning, I live on them during the day. I think about them during the day. And by the way, I heard Dr. Bob Robson say this years ago. Brother Bob Robson said these preachers talking about they can't get a message. I mean, they just can't get a message. You want me to tell you why you can't get a message? You're not reading your Bible. You read that book, they'll jump out at you everywhere. And you ever been reading down through there and they just jump out and say, man, I'm going to preach on that. I'm going to preach on that. And it just jumps out at you. Matter of fact, the message I preached last night, I got it meditating. Matter of fact, I got it in a daily devotion. I was reading my daily devotion and I got that verse out of my daily devotion. And I just want to say to you tonight, I got to hurry. He was a success. Because of the Word of God, the precepts. He hid the Word of God. He meditated on it. And I'm going to say to you tonight, if you're going to be great for God and be anything for God, notice he said, let it not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate on it. Hey, claim the promises of it. You can do that tonight. And if you'll do that tonight, you'll be a great success. But notice the protection in verse number 9. Here's how you can be successful. Verse number 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, and wheresoever thou goest. Notice the protection. And by the way, can I say this tonight? If you're right with God and you're living for God, nothing can happen to you that don't have to go by the hand of God first. Think about what I just said. Nothing can happen to you that, first of all, it's got to go by the hand of God first. God protects his young'uns. God watches after his young'uns. There's a God in heaven watching after former President Trump the other day. I'll guarantee you that. And I want to say this tonight. The protection is, and the key to success is the Word of God. And he says here, be strong and of good courage. Be not dismayed. I'm with you. I'm going to watch after you. I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. And you're going to be a success tonight. And by the way, I want to say this. This works for anybody. This is not talking about a preacher. This is not just talking about a Sunday school teacher. This is not just normally talking about a normal church member. It's talking about anybody saved tonight. You want good success in your business? excuse me, you want good success in your daily life? I'm going to tell you what to do. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Hide the Word of God in your heart. And he says here in this verse here, he'll protect him. He'll take care of him. Now, I'll just say this, and I've got to close on this, say this. The son of Nun done pretty good. The son of Nun, wound up doing pretty good. And he had good success. From a human standpoint, some of the things that Joshua done didn't make a lick of sense. But I will say it made good sense to God. And by the way, again, when you think about Joshua, some of the other names we put up here. And you think about names today. Are you listening to me? Trump, Bush, Reagan. Are you listening? I tell you how to be successful. You don't have to be a Trump. You don't have to be a Bush. And you certainly don't have to be a Reagan. Wish he's back. But listen to this. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Meditate on the Word of God. And when you think about Joshua tonight, I'm closing. When you think about Joshua tonight, don't forget this. He might have been the son of Nun, but he sure was news of God. And the guy we're going to look at tomorrow night was the smallest in his father's house. He is afraid of his own shadow. But God took him and used him mightily. And the things God used to help old Gideon tomorrow night, unbelievable. Crazy from a human standpoint. But when you put God right in the middle of it. So I want to say this tonight. When you think about the son of Nun, don't forget this. He may be called the son of Nun, but he wound up in the heroes of faith. You say his name's not there. Well, who do you think he's talking about in that verse? Huh? The walls of Jericho fell. Who led him to do that? You and I know who led him to do that. And I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to close. I got 2 minutes. What are you going to be remembered by? When you're gone, and when I'm gone, when I think of Joshua, I think of these things. What are you going to be remembered by? And by the way, I ain't even touched the surface. There's so many good things about Joshua. I just hit the highlights. I won't be able to do that tomorrow night either. I'm going to hit the highlights about Gideon. But and by the way, I'm going to say this. Tonight when you go home, if you got time, make time. Read Judges chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. That's the whole life of Gideon. The whole life, just him 3 chapters given to it. But man, how God used him. And I want to say, Joshua may have been the son of Nun, but God knew where he's at. God knew his name. God knew how to use him.